Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Ain't he worthy? Amen. I know it's supposed to have been, isn't he? But ain't he worthy? Amen. He's truly worthy to be praised. It is good for us to be here on this morning as we were sharing the word of God again on this day, and we won't be long. Won't hold us long. I know we have some things we need to remain for right after worship on today. So if you would be so kind on after the service to the Jerusalemites, if you would be so kind to remain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. For the reading of the word of God in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. That's on page 1138 in my Bible. Amen. Amen. I try to be a comedian from time to time because I just think it's just good to laugh. Amen. 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 It's, just, yeah, it's good for the soul. It's good to laugh from time to time. Amen. That's right. 1 John chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 16. Okay? And it reads, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And watch this. "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God." Here's the love of God he paints, because he laid down his life for us. And what we ought to do, because he laid down his life for us. The text says, "And we," talking about us, "ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk about living by design and not by default.
Come on, man.
Amen.
Design, not by default.
Yes. Amen. Living by design, not by default. The English Standard Version, which I'm going to use it as my text I want to use, but I read that from the King James Version, but some of you may have a parallel Bible, or you may have the app on your phone or what have you, or your tablet, but it says this: "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. To God be the glory, whom all things come, to Jesus Christ, our Savior, Holy Spirit, our Comforter, to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, to our officers and mothers, to all of our ushers, to our music ministry, to our family, friends, and loved ones, and members, and visitors, whomever you may be. It is so good for us to be here." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Living by design, not by default. There's a song that said, "Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried all my sins away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day, he's coming back. Oh, a glorious day. That's living by design and not by default. In our text, John supplies us with a reference to his previous inference. He just finished in this text sharing with us about the inferences of love, which we'll find in verses 10 through 15 in this text. And now, John, at this one verse, he shares with us the reference of love. Mm-hmm. And that reference of love he shared with us is Jesus Christ. Whether you believe this or not, my brothers and sisters, you will need someone in this life to give you a reference. Uh-huh. Amen. And no one better is to give you a reference on how to do, what to do, when to do, why to do, than one who has done it perfectly. Uh-huh. And his name is Jesus. You can't find no better way, no better example of love or being modeled by anyone but Jesus. This text is tailored to teach us how to live our life by design and not by default. So my question is, will you live your life by design or will you live it by default? Default can mean a lot of things. Default, if I made with computers, means that a value has automatically been assigned. Default in the finance world means that a person is no longer willing to uphold their agreement. Default in tennis means failure to participate in a complete match or game. Default in logic deals in abstracts rather than absolutes. And default in law is a failure to appear at a required time. Right. Amen. Right. If I can tie the shoestrings on this point, then, is that when you live by default, a value has been automatically assigned to you. Right. Whether you be a thug, hustler, pimp, skeezer, or whatever you may be, a value has been automatically assigned to you. When you live by default, you no longer uphold your agreements. In other words, you quit when the goings get rough and tough. When you live by default, you never see the game of life all the way through. Yeah, because you're a quitter. And when you live by default, your quest is full of questions, replete with abstracts rather than absolutes. But somebody came in this sanctuary this morning to find out how to live your life by design and not by default. All right. Yeah, life by design teaches you to hang on when you feel like letting go. Life by design teaches you that the battle is never flesh and blood, but this is a spiritual battle. Hear the words of the text. Text says it's by this. We know love. Why? Because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. All right. Well, there's three observations I want to make about this text. I'm going to try to move quickly. My points are not very long. But there's three observations I want to make about this text. First of all, we find in the text is the controversy of Christ. Watch this, the text says, by this we know. Christianity, watch this, gets in trouble because we monopolize and have demoralized the meaning of love. Come on, Pastor. I know I'm right about it. Because we run this so much about saying we love somebody. But we never show we love nobody. Amen. The controversy lies in this one word in this text, and is the word this. It is used in the dative case, which refers to persons or things to which something is given or for whom something is done. Now, God didn't have to do nothing for himself because he's God. He didn't have to send Jesus to do nothing for him because guess what? He is God. But let me make it like this. See, God didn't have to send Jesus to do nothing for God the Father because guess what? God knew no sin. I hope you catch that. So then what is done and what has been given has been for somebody else and has been given to somebody else, not for him. And what we are, what God has done then is that he has gave his son, watch this, to die for us. And he has given his son and his son to us, his love. Watch this. And what we are to do as believers is to act out, to carry out, live out his love by design and not by default. See, God didn't give us his love by just haphazard, just to stumble up on his love. That was a reason he gave us his love. Yeah. Because that is the basis on which we are to operate in this earth realm. Yeah, that's why John says without a doubt that by this we know. Yeah, because in the previous verses, he lays out, give the implication of why we ought to love. Or he said, or hereby we perceive the love of God because it's been shown to us by example and given to us. So then the question is, what is love? Is it devotion, affection, or attraction? What is love? Is it Casanova, Denzel Washington, Shamar Moore, or is it Romeo? What is love? Listen to what the Apostle John says. John said, by this we know love. Love, watch this, is the sacrifice that is willing to make for the object loved. Love is a sacrifice. Love is not selfish. Love is not bragging. Love is a sacrifice. And guess what? And there was an object to be loved. And guess what? We were the object that God so loved. Preach, Myron. And for those of us that don't know, we are that object of love. Why? Because for the Son of God, watch it, was agonized and killed for us. Not for him, but for us. So then watch this. I come to this conclusion that the brand of love is unique. Would you agree with that? Love is unique. Watch it, in that it changes everything that it comes in contact with. I've never known nobody that had experienced genuine love and it didn't change their life. Because one factor that identifies the redeemed from the unredeemed is that of love. And so I'm careful about church folk that say they love everybody. I have come to understand over time what love really is. I discovered that. If we'll keep it real, watch it, many of us are struggling to love people in general and even church folk. I struggle to love church folk. I'm just going to keep it real with you. And guess what? And maybe some of y'all struggle to love me. Can we just keep it real? Amen. It's hard to love folk you know that's pretentious and snobbish and self-important. Love is loving folk that you know that could care less if you wake up the next day. Love is loving folk who you know that's malicious, manipulative, that's nasty and disgusting. It's loving people that shout on Sunday and got the knife in your back on Monday. Are y'all feeling it? See, look, one thing I found out is when you learn how to love, when you learn, brother, to fall more in love with the Lord over time,
And when you do this, watch this, I'm going to help us out here. See, you and I, we'll end those weekend love affairs and move into a steady relationship with God. When you learn to love him over time, yeah, you'll end those Sunday morning rendezvous and move into an everyday with Jesus posture. Yeah. So isn't it strange that the twin of 1 John 3:16 is St. John 3:16? They twins. And you can't separate them. Not only is it the same man, but also the same message. What do you mean, Myron? I'm talking about John. He's the man. He's the writer. And it talks about Jesus, who's the message is all about, the Redeemer. Uh-huh. John, who said that he is not that light. In other words, John said, I'm not the man. But Jesus, who is the light, is the man. Yeah, it's the same man. Guess what? With the same message. So then, because of our Savior's sacrifice, we know love. Text says, we know love. And watch it, and that's an inconvenience truth for some. Uh-huh. Because guess what? I found out that John gives an absolute in a world filled with assumptions. John raises a fact in a world that loves fairy tale. John supplies a definite in an age of defiance, because he says that by this we know love. By this, he said, we know love. What has been given us, what has been supplied us, what have been shown to us by these things, by those, we know love. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, when we see the controversy of Christ here in this text, we have to ask ourselves the question, do I really know love? I have to ask myself, what is love? Yeah, we're going to talk about this today. Amen. Now, not only do I observe the controversy of Christ, but then the text lets me know in this verse, but also the courtesy of Christ. But the text says that he laid down his life. That's the courtesy of Christ. Here's a story that was told of Queen Elizabeth and Sir Walter Raleigh. You may have heard it before. That whenever the queen, watch this, approached a mud puddle, Sir Walter Raleigh removed his coat and laid it down as an act of courtesy so the queen could walk across on dry ground. And all around the countryside, when you could hear people, everybody saying this about Sir Walter Raleigh, they were saying, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Somebody, watch this, in this place ought to be glad that when you cross the mud puddle of sin, that bad predicament, that sticky situation, that messy mess that you were in, that Jesus laid down his life as an act of chivalry and courtesy so that you and I can walk over, walk on, and walk through. And if you ain't too holy, you ought to high-five somebody in this house and state that Jesus, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Fact about it, you ain't scared of your neighbors, since you won't high five, you ought to look at them in their eyes and ask, what did Jesus do for you? Wait on them to tell you. Just respond back and say, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Whatever Jesus has done for you lately, baby, I want you to know he didn't have to do it, but he did. Can I say it in the voice of Dot Higgins? He didn't have to wake me this morning, but he did. He didn't have to catch my groan, but he did. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Not only do we see that, but look at the phrase. The phrase of lay down or laying down. It points to more than crucifixion. It is really about consecration. Yeah. When you look at it and gaze into the Greek connotation of this word, the Greek word there is titomai. which paints a different picture than we so often preach. It actually, Reverend Johnson, means to commit, to ordain, it means purpose or to set forth. If I were to say to you, then commit your life, or give your life, ordain your life, or purpose your life, I'm not speaking then in death terms, but I'm speaking in living terms. I'm asking you to sanctify your life, consecrate your life, not crucify your life. So laying down then, or laid down in the text, is not ending it. No, he's not saying to end it, but rather he's saying it is giving it, committing it, and ordaining it. So why? So God can get the glory from it. And I can find out not many of us is willing to pledge and promise our life to him. No, we're not willing to do that. And the reason being is that we want what he wants. And that's glory. And God is not going to share his glory. Yeah, I figure we'll get quiet there. Because anything everybody do in the church, all we want somebody to do is pat us on the back. We want to be recognized. Yeah, we want our name on the marquee out there. You know, Myron Home picked up the most paper last week in the church. Yeah, we want to be glorified. I don't care whatever it is we do. We want our name on it. But what are we doing? Are we doing what we do that he might get the glory? It is all about the courtesy of Christ. Because when I look in the Bible, I ain't died for nobody. You ain't died for nobody. And you ain't going to die for nobody as far as it's concerning their salvation. You might die because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time or with somebody you ain't got no business being with. But guess what? You sure ain't dying for nobody's salvation. I just hope somebody then. Yeah, he didn't design me to receive glory, but to give glory. That's why he designed me. And when I desire what belongs to him, I'm living by default and not by design. I found out other religions would die for what they believe in. But God calls upon us as Christians to live for what we believe in. Amen. Because guess what? He's a living God. Yeah, he's not a God of the dying. He's a God of the living. And through living through us, guess what? We draw others to him. But if I have to die for him, yeah, I am a martyr. I am a witness. Yeah, I'm not afraid to die for him. But if I have to, I will. But he calls us to live for him. So my question is, what do you believe then in this word? Can you commit your life to it, give your life for it, ordain your life because of it, or purpose your life and rely upon it? That's why the apostle of this epistle closes with these words. He said, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He does say that in the text. In other words, watch this. We shouldn't mind putting away some things for a brother or a sister. Yeah. Yeah, because he designed us to live like that. I think the Bible tells us in scripture that we shouldn't be an occasion for our brothers or our sisters. We ought not mind putting away some things. And we shouldn't mind giving up some things for the brethren. We ought not mind making a sacrifice for the brethren. We shouldn't mind that. Because guess what? If we love God, then I don't mind surrendering my goods to my brother. You said something then, Myron. Yeah. If I love God, then I don't mind giving up my goods to my brother. Amen. You know how we are. You know, we talk love. We talk this is the way. You know, I live by design. I hear folks say it all the time. I live by design, not by default. Well, if you really live by design, not by default, and you got four cars sitting in your driveway, and I'm broke down and I need to get to work, and you got all these cars and ain't but one or two of y'all staying at home, then you ought to at least be kind enough to offer a brother or sister a ride until they get theirs fixed.
Well, that's their business.
We got folk that we got folk in a lot of body of Christ that's just like that. Well, that's their fault. It ain't my problem because they didn't get it fixed. Well, maybe they might not be as fortunate as you are. Amen. Yeah, because if we gonna be like him, then we got to be like him all the way. Not just on the weekend, baby. No, we got to take up a posture of Jesus. And that's all the time. What John is saying is that we shouldn't have a closed heart of our material goods to mankind, especially to a fellow believer. And if you do, how can you claim that the love of God is in you? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. There ought to be some things for God, y'all, we just ought to do. Nobody have to beg us to do. Amen. I'm done. Not only do I observe the controversy of Christ, not only do I observe the courtesy of Christ, but finally the text lets us know that there is the constancy of Christ. We find it in the words, we also ought to. See, this textual truth speaks against time card Christianity. Yeah. Yeah. Whereby many people clock in and then we clock out. Uh-huh. There are a lot of time card believers that just punch in to what interests them the most and they punch out after they finish their shift. Preach on, Mara. Y'all know ain't never scared, don't you? The church of the 21st century, I find, is a different kind of church in the respect that there is a low level of devotion and loyalty to the cause of Christ and to the church's will. Amen. See, we ain't like the church. We ain't like the church of old. We ain't committed to nothing now. Because, see, our lives are too busy. Well, we give more time to our civic clubs and off and roo-roo clubs and all of this other stuff, you know, but we don't give no time to the church or either to the cause of Christ. I know you don't like me, but I know I'm all up in here. Up in here, up in here. Amen. Because God wants us to shift the way we're doing things. Shift to whom we're giving our commitments to. Amen. It's hard to find believers who's faithful to the church. Look, not only faithful to the church, to the work of the church and to his will and purpose of the church. It's hard to find that now. But I'm so glad that Jesus just didn't clock in and clock out in the earth wind. Yeah, and leave us stranded. But he said in John, guess what? That I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. No. He said, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. But I'm going to leave you some help. And he's called a comforter. And in the statement, in that statement alone, Jesus showed forth some steadfastness in his ministry. He displayed the kind of faithfulness one is to possess to his work and show that he can be counted on. Yeah. Just all in that one statement. Yeah. And if we're going to live by design and not by default, then brothers and sisters, we got to be consistent in our love and compassionate in our hearts and demonstrated by our action. We just got to stop using love so loosely. Just got to stop being people of words. But we got to start being people of deeds. When you commit your life, watch this, you can never clock out. When you give your life, you can never clock out. When you purpose your life, you can never clock out. And baby, when you clock into this, ain't no talking about no clocking out. So my question is, what is it that have gotten you to the point you're ready to clock out? And baby, guess what? Look, age ain't got nothing to do with it either. No, because see, when you in this, till you take your last breath. Amen. That's living by example. And is there anybody here that's going to commit and give purpose, set forth their life in order to live by example? Well, as I wrap it up, the question is, will you take God to be your God? Yeah. Will you make him supreme in your life from this day forward? Will you reverence and worship him in sickness and health when you are on the mountain and even when you're down in the valley? Will you lift up holy hands when the devil is trying to handcuff your praise? Will you love him, honor him, keep him, bless him, adore him, praise him, glorify him, lift him, pray to him, abide in him, submit to him as long as you shall live? And if you're going to do it and live by example, you ought to be able to say, I will. Yeah. Now, since you said I will, by the power that's invested in him to keep you from falling, I now pronounce that he will present you faultless before him, the only wise God, whom be glory, honor, dominion, and power both now and forever. And guess what? Can I just pause right here for a spiritual station identification? Will you work when others don't show up? If you will, go on to shout, I will. Will you stay on fire when the cold water committee tries to put your fire out? Will you keep your vow you vowed to the Lord? Will you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? Will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you forgive your brothers and sisters regardless of what they have done to you? Will you keep the peace? And I love the I wills of the Bible because I love them all, because guess what Psalm 34 said? I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Psalm 52 and 9 said, I will praise you forever for what you have done. It says in verse 10, I will praise you in the presence of the saints. Psalm 34 and 11 said, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 54 and 6 said, I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 57 and 2 said, I will cry unto God, who is the Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Psalm 138 and 1 said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. And Revelation 2 and 10 said, I will give thee a crown of life. And I don't know about you, but I want my crown of life. I'm done. I'm done.